Blog Talk Radio.
I declare you will know the favor of the Lord and receive a harvest for your seed. And in due time, God will blow your mind with what he planted inside of you to bless the world as it blooms. A great work. It's faithful to perform. God is faithful to perform. Oh, he that has begun a great work in you is faithful to perform it. God is faithful to perform it. So if you ever get discouraged, speak to yourself and say, God is doing a great work. He's doing a great work. He's doing a great work in me.
Good afternoon, everyone. The Anointing for Gospel Center Diocese International just wants to thank you for taking your time to join us. Today is Friday, May the 26th, and we just say happy Friday to you, and we thank you for taking the time to join us. I'm Tracy with the Anointing Women's Ministry, and we just wanted to say thank you, and we pray that God will continue to bless you and to keep you and your families. And again, we thank you for taking this time out with us, as we do every Friday at noon, where we talk about various topics. And then today is a topic, is a testimony, actually in reference to celibacy. I know this is a topic, and the question that comes is whether it's possible or whether it is impossible. Because again, we know we live in a society that, that accepts it, and you know, that accepts sex, that accepts all of that. And again, none of us are perfect. But what I want to discuss, or even just talk about to you, is sharing my experience with celibacy and what God taught me through it. Now, celibacy is to abstain from sex, and making a vow to self, making a vow of celibacy is by one by which a person is bound to act of service or condition. And that's out of the Merriam-Webster's dictionary. And in talking about celibacy, again, whether it's impossible, whether it's possible. And again, out of thinking about this topic and my journey, I made the commitment about 10 years ago, and it has not been easy. And I made the commitment because of the painful place that I was in. Now, not everybody has been in those places where you were provoked into making a decision because you knew that in this place you were in, you needed a change. You needed something different. You needed a solution. You needed God's help. No one, neither ourselves, could have helped us in that situation to get out of it. And so because of the place that I was in, I made this vow and a commitment to God for celibacy. And again, not everybody has been in that. People may have either thought about celibacy, or maybe you were in a place where you just decided that, look, I need to make this because I want to change. Whatever your reason of making this commitment, this topic is to encourage you so you can answer that question, whether it is possible or whether it's impossible. But I want to let you know today, as the Word of God gives us to know, that with God, all things are possible. Now, again, we are human, we are flesh, but I want to encourage you as God encouraged me, because again, when I made this commitment, it was because I was in a painful place. And I knew that only God could help me through this. And this is what I needed from God. Now, to be perfectly honest with you, after I made the commitment, I had a moment of regret of, did I just make that? Did I just say that? Did I just say what I think I just said? But because the commitment was now made, God took me on this journey of knowing that he will be the one to help me through it. And to be perfectly honest with you, it was more than what I can ever imagine what I got out of it. Even though I entered into it because I know I needed deliverance. I knew I needed a change. I knew I needed a difference. I knew I wanted something more than my past relationships, than the hurt, than the despair, than others, than the disappointment. I knew I wanted something different. I knew I wanted something better, and I had no idea how to obtain it. But I went to God, and I made this commitment to him. And with that being said, I want to take us to into the scripture, to a familiar topic or to a familiar scripture that we've actually talked about before. But I want to particularly talk about Hannah when she made that vow and that commitment to give her son unto God if he blessed her to be able to conceive. And it is coming out of 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 10, that says, in her deep anguish, and that painful place. Again, your situation may not be as mine, but if you are in a place or if you've made this commitment because you were in a deep place, an anguish place, I want to encourage you with the three things that God encouraged and continues to encourage me in this journey of celibacy. And it reads, in her deep anguish, Hannah prayed to the Lord, weeping bitterly. And she made a vow saying, Lord Almighty, if you will only look on your servant's misery and remember me and not forget your servant, but give her a son, then I will give him to the Lord for all the days of his life, and no razor will ever be used on his head. And that is verses 10 and 11. And I want to stop there because, again, like I said, I was in a place where I was in a deep anguish. I was in a painful place that no one could reach me. I felt like that this was it. What was the purpose? What was the point? What does life have to offer me now that I'm confronted with this? And so in that moment, I made this commitment. I made that vow unto God that I needed a change. I needed him to deliver me from this. And I give him myself in celibacy, in waiting on him. And it wasn't easy. But like Hannah, and like often all of us, like we tend, I know for me, oftentimes that, or even I want to say unlike Hannah, I know oftentimes we will try to figure out how to do things ourselves, how to figure it out, how we're going to accomplish it. But like Hannah, she made this commitment in her trust unto God and her reliance upon God to do this. Because, again, she didn't just take her son to the priest to be raised or to be there for a period of time and she brings him home. No, she fully gave what was precious to her, something that she desired the most was a child. And she gave him unto the priest Eli. And Samuel was raised in the house of the Lord. But when she made that commitment unto God and she gave her son unto him, and it even goes on to read that God gave her more children. God gave her more than what she even asked for. And that's what I want to focus on, is that regardless as to why we made the commitment to celibacy, but whatever the reason is, God will give us more than what we can ever imagine, more than what we think that we are being without. God will give us more than that. And then ultimately, the waiting will not be in vain. And so through this process, again, I thought of it in the beginning, it was a punishment. Because after a year goes by and you're just like, okay, my emotions was always in it. And because, again, I knew about sex. Things were getting difficult. And so God gave me, he gave me this one thing was remember why. And even right to this day, that continues to help me to remain. Because when we make a vow of celibacy, it's to remain, it's to keep it until the appointed times that God releases us. And that's what encourages me. Is to remember why and why that's important. And the reason is because there's going to be situations that come our way. Things that's going to look good, smell good, seem to be acceptable, or even we call the one. But in those familiar spaces or new spaces that we think are right, we've got to remember why we made that commitment. And being able to also understand that God will not do a thing without telling us first. Remember, the enemy will always want to bring a wolf in sheep's clothing, will always want to bring what appears to be good, but in actuality is not. And so being aware of remembering why we made that commitment, why we made that choice, because familiar things are going to come. Familiar situations may arise. And remembering why we made this vow to abstain from sex, why you wanted something different. Because believe it or not, the person, the other person, is not trying to help you uphold your commitment. That's our responsibility. And if we're not careful, we will entertain somebody, either familiar faces or somebody that we think that who is going to value this commitment. No, we have to value this commitment. We have to remember why and understand not everybody is on the same playing field as we are. But when we come to understand that this is why I made this commitment and understand that not everybody is going to value it like I do, we have got to uphold that and be aware that everybody is not on the same place that we are or the same place of why we made this commitment. So understand that remembering why, and that is our responsibility to uphold that. And also remembering why. And again, these are just some times that God taught me. And another thing that God taught me to remember why is because loneliness will come. And when loneliness comes, then that's when you need to remember why you made the commitment. Because the reality of it is, remember, Friday nights are usually here and there, Saturday nights, ripping and running, whatever it was. But in those times where you made the choice that you want something different, and now after work, everybody is gone, and now you're just by yourself at home, and then the loneliness may creep in. But I want to encourage you, even in those moments, remember why you made that choice, and also be honest with yourself. Don't try to hold it in and try to figure out how to accomplish it yourself. What God taught me the most in that, in those times when it came, was to talk it out. Because sometimes you're not going to have people around you. And even if you do, they may not understand because they have not made that same commitment as you do. So sometimes you may just be speaking to yourself, you and God, and opening up your heart to God and letting him know how you feel, letting him know how bad this hurts. I can't even tell you how many times I prayed and asked God, just take it all away. Take the feelings away. Take the emotions away. I just don't want it. For years, I prayed that because it was a constant reminder of what I did not have. But God wouldn't do it. Emotions are still here. But he encouraged me to be honest, to talk it out of how I feel in those moments. And my pastor always encouraged us, and this is what helped, is to be honest with God. Go to God naked, and that gaze, that took off the barriers. Because oftentimes when we have conversations or whenever we pray to God, we think it has to be we can only say this thing, we can only talk about this, or, you know, I can deal with this here, or, oh, this is a little embarrassing, I don't want to say that in prayer. But those are the times in which God wants us to come to him the most. Because he knows we don't have what it takes. He knows we don't have the solution. Because if we did, it wouldn't be a problem to begin with. So in those moments, it doesn't matter how uncomfortable it is. Talk to God about sexual desires. Talk to him about how you feel lonely. Talk to him about it. And I guarantee you, he will take that honesty and that love that you went to your father, and he will come in and help you to sustain. He will give you what you need to be able to make it another day, to make it another week, to make it another month, because we put our trust in him to keep us. And that's what's important, is knowing that we can go to God. We can talk to him. And again, remembering our reason helps us in these moments because it's a reminder that you want better. You want more than your past. And you vow to trust in God's timing for the manifestation. Even in that reminds me of a time in which the opportunity that came to Rebecca. When the opportunity came to her, Rebecca's door when her future husband's father, head servant, approached her out of all the other women present. That's what the remember why is about. Because in those times of loneliness, in those times when those familiar faces come, remember that there is going to be something greater, that God has your name on it. There were many women who would come to the well to draw up water for their families. But God designated that purpose, that opportunity just for Rebecca, not for her neighbors, not for her cousins, but specifically just for her. And that's what encouraged us in those times of remembering why. And then also remember that that opportunity will also come to your door as well. And as we continue, and as we continue, God is not sitting around watching us go through these hard times, times of suffering, times of hard times. He is perfecting us. He is also perfecting your future husband. He's not, and that's the one thing that I remember Chief Apostle has taught us, that look, God is so powerful, and he holds the whole world in his hands. He is unlimited in all that he does. He has no restraints on him. So he has the power to yet perfect in us and do the changes in us, as well as the other person, as well as the situation, as well as the opportunity. And that's what we can be encouraging, is that, look, it's not impossible when God, when we put our trust in God to do it. So I encourage you that even in this, just remember why, because that is what God helped me to continue, is to remember why I made that commitment. Remember what I desire to have. And then the next thing I want to share, which is something that I've never, again, these are things that I never even expected to happen during this time of making that commitment to celibacy. And it's called Your Authority Awakens. And that was something that I had never even phantomed to even happen. And it actually came about from a lesson that occurred at church a few years ago. And it was talking about that the importance of the authority of a woman. And oftentimes when we get involved in these relationships and we give up sex, we give up ourselves, we're giving up that possession, that value that we have. And oftentimes what ends up happening is that I know for me, from my personal experience, is that because of that, I feel like I owe them. Not saying that in the front of my mind thinking about it, but then it's played out in my actions. It's played out, I'm compromising my time, my money, morals, values, my body, family. It'd be, you know, an event will come up and I want to be with my family, but oh, he calls or this and that, and then you find yourself going here. You know, you feel like, for me, it felt like I owed them, because I gave them something important to me. So now they had that. So there was a tie. There was now this unseen connection that was there. And so even in that, now we understand that there now is a difference. Now you don't owe them anything, because you are now keeping that is important, that is valuable to you. So when you are faced with those temptations, when you are faced even with those familiar faces, you don't owe them anything. You don't owe them your time. You now recognize. You now, it's kind of like the blinders have been taken off. Now you come into a greater understanding and realization that, look, I don't have to go this way. I don't have to say yes. I don't have to go out with you, or I don't have to compromise. It doesn't matter what it is. It doesn't matter how big or how small it is. You owe them nothing, because you have kept everything that is important to you to you. So at that point, it taught me that, look, I don't have to do this anymore. I don't have to feel like I owe them anything. And again, that was something that I was never expecting to take place during this time of celibacy, was coming to the understanding of the authority that I have, that I didn't realize that I was constantly giving up, something that I was constantly putting on me, the other person. I was left with nothing. I felt depleted and was looking to them to be fulfilled, looking to them to feel like I was somebody, because I gave them what was important to me. I gave them what was valuable to me. And so the last thing I wanted to also mention in that is that the last thing that came to me in going over or in preparing for this was the importance of that the same thing as God is perfecting us and teaching us about our values, about what's important to us, and living by the standards of God, he's also doing the same thing for your husband. He's also doing the same thing. And then think about it. We can always think about it. I remember hearing someone say that, you know, you want to be, you know, you want to attract this kind of person, or you want to marry this kind of person. But then you yourself is not in a place that person would even be attracted to you. And that's what's important, is knowing that, look, whatever is within us, whatever is within us, we project out. And if God is teaching us about our values, he's teaching us about who we are in him, then that in turn will project that kind of person to us as well. And then also the last thing I want to mention, the last thing that God taught me about this is forgiveness. Because look, we're human. And then in the forgiveness, about honestly forgiving our past, forgiving ourselves, because it was a burden. Like I said, it was a deep place. That's why I made that commitment. And it constantly was a weight. It constantly was a burden. And even when I slipped, even when I messed up, repent, go to God. And what I've learned, repenting is turning away and taking the time to analyze it. And I mean analyze to gain wisdom, to learn from whatever choices that we made. Because, again, it's going to come around again. But the difference is, are we going to follow the same choices that we've made? So in that, God taught me about forgiveness. And in that, he also gave me to know that even in taking that time, understanding that it will come around again. And there's a purpose in learning it. Because what it did is that it taught me about boundaries. And I can't put that expectation on the other person. I have already had to have those boundaries within myself and knowing what I am going to do, not going to do, what I know within myself that I need to make sure that I do not involve myself in, because I know where my weaknesses are. I know where my strengths are. And so in that place, God taught me about understanding your boundaries, understand where you're weak at. Because again, we always want to think that we're strong, we can do it, we have what it takes. But you know what? Oftentimes, you know, be honest. You may not actually have what it takes, especially all the time. And being honest with where we're at, especially something as hard as being celibate. Be honest with where your weaknesses are. Set those boundaries. And I've heard somebody say something to the point where sometimes you got to set curfews. Like, look, if you go out on a date, there's no need to be out at 2 a.m. Set those boundaries, because you know at a certain time, you know that sometimes you want to be more quiet, more intimate. If you know that that is a weakness for you, then that's a boundary for you. And again, whatever that boundary is something for us to set. That was something that God taught me in learning from the things that I've gone through. And then the last thing I want to mention is I want to go to the book. And the book is going to be on page 60. And again, it's from I Win, I Am a Survivor by author Margaret L. Moore. And if you have her books, it's coming out of chapter 5. And it's on the last page in page 60. And it says, finally, commit to taking time to understand how important you are to yourself and to those who love and care about you and your well-being. Commit to living in ways that will inspire you and others around you. Commit to longevity, no matter what it takes, because without it, it will deny you the opportunity and freedom to fulfill the greater potential within and possess the greater things without that await you. Commit to, I win, I am a survivor. And remember, in this time, it's not a punishment, but God wants you, if you are thinking about celibacy, if you are celibacy, to be encouraged. No, it is possible. It is possible, but knowing that, look, God will help you in this. He will even put people to cross your path to encourage you. He will encourage you in his word. Even in times where you feel like it's lonely, go to God. And in that, he will teach us the importance of even building that relationship with him, building that prayer life with him, building your knowledge and understanding of the word of God. So all of it has purpose. It is to build us up to become who he has called us to be. And in the book, one of the key things that really stood out to me is that this time is for you. Seeing the value in who you are and knowing that it's not a burden. While sometimes it may feel like it's heavy, but I want to encourage you to invest this time in your well-being, loving yourself, understanding what that is and what it looks like and being able to see the difference. Because oftentimes we talked about love and we said that we loved another person, but we didn't see the attributes of love. Love is a sacrifice. Love is caring. Love is patient. It is kind. And if we don't even have that for ourselves, then how can we be able to give that to somebody else or even recognize it? We want this kind of man, but if we don't even know how to even love ourselves, we are not going to be able to recognize it when somebody else loves us. So take this time to love yourself, those around you, putting what you have learned, the knowledge and the authority, let it go out before you, and then so you can walk in the security, the confidence that there is greater that awaits us. Because whatever is within us will project outward. And remember the first point, remember why. And if we remember why we have gone through those things, if we remember why we made this commitment, if we remember why in those times of loneliness, then at that point, that in itself, we can use that to strengthen us from the places that were hard and those places that were painful to now know, look, I'm pushing towards the greater. I am fighting towards something that is bigger than what I was before. And in that, we will then begin to project the value of now who we are. We project it outwardly. So that person that God is even working on even now for you, you can now attract him because now you have the value and the confidence because now you know that you're not your past. You're not those choices. Even though you may have made that choice of being celibate because of that reason, you're not there anymore. And so understanding that, look, it's not a punishment, but celibacy is something greater. And these are just the points that God continues to encourage me, again, to ultimately just to remain. Because this is, we don't want to make any choice to be in it and then we're out of it and then possibly in the same stuff that we were in before. So again, I encourage all of us to just seek God to remain. And knowing that he will give you what you need. And if these are points that can encourage you like it has and is continuing to encourage me, I pray that it does. And so we thank God. And this is going to be the end of today's show. And we just wanted to say thank you. Thank you for taking your time. And we just pray that this was an encouragement for you. We pray that this was something that, hey, you may be able to encourage somebody else with. And so we just thank God for this opportunity. And Heavenly Father, we just come before you, Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. God, we thank you, Heavenly Father, for this day, this time, and this opportunity. We pray for those who are on, Heavenly Father, God, that they will be encouraged and strengthened, my Lord God, that in you, Heavenly Father, that it is your power that you will keep them and sustain them. So we thank you, Heavenly Father, again for this day and this opportunity. And we give you praise in the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. So again, we thank everybody for taking your time. We thank you for just sharing this opportunity with us another Friday. And we pray that you will have a safe and blessed Memorial Day weekend. And again, thank you and be blessed.